Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, you're watching Stretford Paddock. I'm here today with Kieran for a little podcast. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right. It's been a long time since we've done one of these. I feel like this is the first podcast we've actually done together.
I think it might be, actually. We've done a watch-along.
We've done a few watch-alongs.
We've done a few watch-alongs. But we haven't done many videos together, have we?
What people may not realise is me and Joe worked here for like 6 months, yeah. But we were on different days, and I didn't meet Joe till like 4 months in.
Yeah, it took us a long time to meet each other, didn't it?
But now we are.
Now look at us.
We're one. Inseparable at this stage.
We're a single entity at this
point. So what have we got to talk about today?
Well, we've got a few things to talk about. We're going to go through all the stuff for the Liverpool game on Sunday. We're going to talk about Brandon Williams, who's just signed a new contract about 10 minutes ago. That was announced. We're going to look at some interesting potential January signings as well. So obviously, let's get straight into the Liverpool match. And first of all as well, put your score predictions in the comments. Have we got any chance at all?
I believe the expression is a puncher's chance.
Mm.
I think we've got a puncher's chance in this game when you take into consideration not only are Liverpool so much better than us, not only have they not lost, they've only lost one game since the beginning of last season. We've lost.
Is that true? We've lost.
My God. What?
We've lost three, a big. Yeah.
Three
this season?
Three this season.
We lose last year 10.
Oh, God. Man.
Something horrific.
So we've lost 13 while Liverpool have lost one. And the fact is we're missing Paul Pogba and David De Gea.
And potentially Martial and potentially Luke Shaw and potentially Wan-Bissaka. We're hoping Wan-Bissaka's back, aren't we?
At this rate, I think either of us could get a game. The squad
It's mad, isn't it? I was saying before, if I just shave my beard off, put my hair up, wear his Latan t-shirt.
You'd need to get 75,000 people to be squinting.
Yeah, if they're all squinting, I'm tall enough I could probably just sneak on for the final 10 minutes, nod one in.
If you're on for 5 minutes, are you going to try some mad shit you're playing?
Yeah, I would do. I do the scorpion kicks. I'd be doing the overhead kicks. I wouldn't make contact with the ball.
You've only got 5 minutes as well.
Yeah, you've only got 5 minutes. Probably won't even touch the ball because Liverpool will have all the ball. Oh, they'll try and play ball down the line to me and I can't run.
But yeah, I'm not looking forward. Well, no, of course I'm looking forward.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And I'm never going to go into a game saying, no, we're definitely going to lose. There's no chance. Because at the end of the day, and it's not just United, all football fans can empathise with each other. Even as much as your team is shit, you go into the next game thinking, well, if we do this.
Yeah, there are ways for us to win. And we were looking at some stats before. Liverpool haven't won at Old Trafford since the 2013-14 season when David Moyes was the manager. Yeah. And we've had some pretty bad teams in that time.
Yeah.
Although, in fairness, none quite as bad as we are now.
You know what's funny? You were saying that we haven't had bad teams like this. I was actually looking at our form this season, and I don't want to get anyone's hopes up, but our first three games, we won one, drew one, lost one. Our second three games, we won one, drew one, lost one. Our last two games, we've lost one and we've drawn one.
Right, so it's reversing. So the pattern isn't continuous.
No, it's not continuous. But
you're
saying
that every three games we complete.
We're consistently inconsistent.
Okay, so we're due for a win, is what you're trying to say?
Yes, I am.
Or it's actually slowly getting worse.
Yeah,
we started badly and it's getting worse.
The only thing that could ruin my footballing life more is if my theory of inconsistency just finishes.
We just draw every game for the rest of the season. Looking toward the game then, we talked about those injuries. Which one of those players do you think we will miss the most in terms of our chances against
Liverpool? Oh, easily Paul Pogba.
Do you think?
Without a chance, Paul Pogba. Who the hell's going to create chances in that team now? People are going to say, people are going to say, well, Angel Gomez or Juan Mata, if you play, I don't know. But in the reality is, they haven't done it against teams like Astana, Rochdale. They sure as fuck, well, there's a big chance of them not doing it against Liverpool.
Juan Mata has got to the point where he's so slow, he's not a footballer anymore.
It's not just that. Someone said it to me as well. It's not just the fact he's lost his pace, but he's lost a bit of his touch as well.
Yeah. It's like his reactions or something. Like there was a time, I can't remember what game it was. I saw it on the replay. I think it might be the Newcastle game. But the ball just gets played over, and you think, oh, we're on a counter attack here. And Mata is in the frame of the shot, running after the ball for 2 or 3 seconds, and then out of nowhere into the frame comes a Newcastle defender. Yeah. And you're like, You were 20 yards further away from the ball than Matt was. Are you getting it?
He could be in a Liverpool.
It's like he shuffles his feet across the floor. Like he's literally like a dad running after an ice cream van. It's like with his dressing gown flailing in the wind.
I'm not sure if you had
him.
This in primary school where you weren't allowed to run around the yard in case you ran into someone. Yeah. It's like kids.
You're all like, when you go around the side of a swimming pool. You're like, no running, so you're like shuffling along. That's one Matt sprinting.
That's him sprinting.
He's doing his. He can't sprint.
Oh, he's a lovely man though.
Oh, he's a great guy. He is a lovely guy, and he's been a great footballer as well, but I think he doesn't get the goals he used to. Like for the first couple of years at United, he sort of got a goal every three or four games. Like his goal scoring record wasn't bad. He doesn't seem to score anymore. He doesn't get in those positions anymore. Like I said, maybe his touch is sort of. I mean, and it does feel bad at slagging him off because I generally I'm number one positive towards United as much as I can be, and number two, he's such a nice guy. Like you said, it's not. I'm not. This isn't any sort of personal thing or like I don't want to be like this, but I just. He just isn't good enough, is he? He's just not.
He's old. That's what it is. Yeah. He's old. And you know what? When he was given the contract extension over the summer, we did a few videos on it. If you haven't seen, go back and watch.
Yeah.
When the contract news broke and we were saying, will this hinder the progress of someone like Angel Gomez? But then we kind of came to the conclusion that, well, if Ollie's building this, you know, a team around youth, he's going to have some experienced players there. But it's at the point now where Matt has not taken that backseat and let the young players play. Our squad depth is so thin at the moment. While Matt has been thrown... just back into the
well, center. Actually, he's been thrown in consistently since he's been at United.
Yeah,
like, he always plays games. It's like same with Rashford. Like, obviously, we know Rashford now. The storyline sort of changed with him. Maybe he plays too many games. But Mourinho used to get slagged off all the time for not playing him enough. When actually he played some of the most appearances, Mourinho. So it's like Matt is like you think he's on the fringe of the team, but he plays a lot of games.
No, he does play a lot of games.
Yeah,
he was kind of a consistent. He was always that. Especially when Pogba wasn't there, he played a lot as well.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of creativity. In that central role, Jesse Lingard always did play that central role quite a bit, but he never had the creative spark of Juan Mata. Very few players, you know, did when Juan Mata was in his prime. I think he got double digits goals and assists that season at Chelsea, his first season in the league. And like you said, banging them in for United. But it's just the fact he's lost a yard of pace.
Yeah.
He'll probably start on Sunday. I don't know who else you start. I don't know if we can field 11 players at this point.
Can we do 10?
I think we could do
10. And we'll be like, if someone else turns up halfway through, we can.
Yeah, we'll have a word with Liverpool beforehand. Just say, can we start with 10 players?
Can we have one of your players?
Please.
Yeah. We don't want to, but.
Like, if it was our worst player, their worst player, it'd still probably be the best player in the team, really.
But yeah, going back to Pogba, I saw a video the other day that was on Reddit, on the Red Devils subreddit, that was like 50 assists that never were for Paul Pogba. Like, these incredible passes.
And goals as well.
Well, there's the goals one where he almost scored, like hitting the post and the crossbar and like whiskers wide. But some of these assists and these passes. And do you know that? I always think of it as the Messi ball, where the Messi's sort of 35 yards out and just chipping like straight balls that should be impossible into the box for like Suarez to come on and volley, Suarez to head in.
Between the goalkeeper and the last defender.
It's like doing that sort of a very straight chip when usually you want to put a bit of angle on a ball. Sorry, but there's so many of Pogba doing that to Zlatan, to Rashford, to Lukaku, and not many to Martial actually because he's either don't get the chances or he's just more clinical than the rest of them. But so many of these things, like people say he's not a great player and he takes penalties, that pads up his numbers. Like if he had better players around him, how many more assists he would have got? Like obviously not every striker's going to take every chance they get, but if United scored 15 or 20 of those 50 incredible chances that he created, his stats at United would look so much better.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with a couple of people over the last few days. I think people are starting to realise now just how good, and I know it seems weird at a time like this to say just how good Paul Pogba is.
Yeah.
When you look at his numbers and you look at United now, they're probably as, if not worse than last season, and he still managed, 13 goals and 9 assists in the league? I'm not sure if that's across all competitions.
I think he got 10 in both, all competitions.
Insane, like, but he really is... the only
10 plus, should I say.
Attacking threat now at this stage.
Yeah.
Centrally as well, because you look at who's next, Jesse Lingard, and I've always been a great defender of Jesse Lingard. Cue the comments down below to slate me. But like I always said, he offers a lot off the ball.
Well, that's
there
the
is
thing.
That stat,
though,
that stat, and we say stats don't tell the full story, and it doesn't, because he still puts in, and I'll use the City game last season as a benchmark, that when him and Rashford went off, we fell to pot. We could have maybe even won that game with them on the pitch. But when you don't register a goal and assist since December, when you're an attacking midfielder,
he's got as many goals and assists for United in 2019 as me.
Yes.
That's not great, is it?
That's not great. No. You haven't scored many goals for United this year.
I haven't scored many at all, but me and Jesse have got the same record.
Oh, okay.
Which is bad, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I mean, that's like, I have the same amount of Premier League medals as Steven Gerrard.
That's good, isn't it?
So that's for all you scousers in the comments down below. We do see you.
But talking about like playing through the middle, then we saw Rashford, who's obviously been playing as our main striker since Martial got injured. We saw him playing down the left for England, where I thought he looked much better. I don't know whether that's because he's in a better team. He was playing against Bulgaria, who obviously off the pitch were disgraceful, but on the pitch, some of the least effort I've ever seen by a team.
Yeah.
England honestly could have scored 15 goals.
Oh, easily.
It was ludicrous. The amount of times we just played the ball in, like easy passes, and the striker, whether it was Kane, Sterling, even Rashford, and I think Sancho as well at the end, was just sort of 8 to 10 yards out with no defender on them.
Yeah.
And they just turned and had a shot and the goal is saved. So it's easy to look quite good in that, against that kind of opposition. But I think he does look more energetic. He does look more dangerous coming in off that left-hand side. Do you think there's a case, even if Martial isn't playing, to put Rashford on the left, bring James onto the right, and then maybe play Greenwood through the middle?
I definitely think that is a possibility, because as much as I love Marcus Rashford, as much as I believe in Marcus Rashford,
yeah,
he hasn't been delivering the goods up front this season. And that goal for England was his first goal in open play for over 2 months. You know what his last one was from open play?
Go on.
The one against Chelsea, where he was playing predominantly on the left side. But then there's this counter-argument, and I would actually like to hear what people think about this in the comments. Do you go with Rashford on the left, or do you go with Dan James, who has been, I would go as far to say, far more consistent than
Rashford
this season?
Well, he's probably been, overall, our best attacking player this season.
Kid who was meant to be a raw talent.
He is still a raw talent, and he should still be making appearances off the bench and starting the odd game here and there. He's a young lad who's never played in the Premier League before, played most of his games in the Championship at least. And he's, you know, equal top scorer for United, one of our most exciting and dangerous threats in every game. That just shouldn't be the case, should it? And obviously we know that, but it's another example of the problems, especially in the midfield and attack, that United have got at the moment. I think personally I would put James on the right.
You put him on the right?
Yeah, because I think Rashford struggles on the right. He doesn't seem to create those chances. He likes to be able to cut in on his stronger foot and shoot across goal.
Yeah, he's a right-footed player and haven't, yeah.
And he obviously, he doesn't... I don't think him having his stronger foot on the right-hand side for sort of crossing and getting the ball into the box will benefit us as a team, because we don't have anyone who can win headers.
Can you just
against Van
picture Dan James going up for a header against Matip and Virgil van Dijk? It's like, put me in, coach, put me in!
Yeah, with his little run, just jumps in the air and his feet just go an inch off the floor and then just elbow him out of the way.
Just straight away, just the stretcher comes on like 20 seconds after coming on.
I can't really imagine it.
But I'd like to see Mason up front as well.
Yeah.
Do you throw him in against Van Dijk and Matip?
But what other option do we have? I think he's playing either way, isn't he? Oh, well, I suppose, like we said, we could play Mata on the right, Rashford up front and James on the left. But personally, I think Mason's got a couple of goals this season, which is more than can be said for obviously Lingard or Mata.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would be a good experience for him. And I think we're so thin and the standards are so low and the expectations are so low that even a mediocre performance from Greenwood would give him experience that you just can't get outside of those big games. So I think for me, it's worth the risk.
But I'm just looking at Sunday, like, and I know it's easier for us to all say, God, a lot of us are dreading it.
Mm.
But look, stranger things have happened in football than United beating Liverpool. Let's not kid ourselves. United are in a bad state at the moment. Liverpool are in the great. But look, at the end, look at Man City, newly promoted Norwich turned them over.
Yeah, and
I don't think I'm out of place.
And then Norwich looked terrible the week later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're hoping that logic works in reverse. We were shit last week. Hopefully we're better, you know, this week.
Yeah.
And maybe Rashford getting that goal on the international break will, because he is a player like Martial as well. Confidence. They need confidence to play. Some players do. That's why Fergie was so good. That's why you see players like Mesut Ozil not reaching the heights at Arsenal. Or even Paul Pogba not reaching the same heights as United, because he needs to be nurtured and stuff like that. But look, it's United-Liverpool at the end of the day. We're all going to be watching. We're all going to hope. We're all going to think of ways in our head.
And because it's back from the international break as well, I just can't wait.
Can't stand it.
I don't like the international. But I mean, to be fair, I don't actually hate it as much as some people do, but in terms of that first game back after an international break, the Premier League game, such a sweet feeling when you sat waiting for the
thing about international football is, and this is something that only maybe England fans can relate to, is that I can't remember the last time, and it's probably Euro today, isn't it, because they didn't qualify, but the last time England had a semi-challenging or if not you know, a half decent. Like, when was the last time they had a half decent team in the group for any sort of qualifier?
We had Croatia once. I mean, I guess we lost to, you know, thingy the other day, but yeah, that's the first time we've lost in 10 years.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that stat.
So it's like, it doesn't. It's not inspiring. Obviously, some of the stuff we saw the other night was terrible and off the pitch stuff. But there's never anything exciting. There's never. It's nice to see England. We've got a bit of a different style now. We sort of play the youth players a bit more than we used to. So that's kind of exciting. But yeah, it's not. There's never any drama. The Nations League actually, for me, did give a bit of that. More than I thought it would beforehand. Obviously, it didn't feel like a tournament like any of the Euros or the World Cup, obviously, but it gave some sort of... We played against good teams. We beat some good teams. The Spain game was exciting.
I mean, it filled the void of pointless international friendlies where people like... Fucking, I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Darren Bent was given a cap if we were still playing friendlies. Yeah. Like, just useless friendlies to give mid-table crap Premier League players.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a few caps under their England belt. Maybe, do you remember? Oh, what was his name? Cardiff striker. Jay Bothroyd got an England cap when he was still playing in the Championship for Cardiff City right. 6 years ago. Yeah. Kevin Davis got a cap when he was like 50 for Bolton. That just tells you all you need to know about international friendlies.
But yeah, no,
the Nations League was pretty alright, to be fair.
Yeah,
that was something extra. Even though England still bottled that as well.
Yeah, of course.
But coming from Ireland as well, that's, I suppose, where international friendlies kind of matter. They went 2-0 down to the Swiss, was on Monday.
So do you come from Ireland or what?
No, I've been over this well.
We go over every
video. Every podcast, no. Born in Manchester, moved to Ireland, moved back to Manchester. Not in Failsworth, despite what Mr. Howson says over here. I don't know where Failsworth came into it. I don't even know where Failsworth is. Shout out to the Failsworth Massive.
Looking forward then, January.
Yeah.
But there's an interview today with Gary Neville talking to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, talking about potential signings. And again, you hear that same line of, if there are people available, we will aggressively... It's aggressive, it's availability, it's price points, it's all the same keywords we've heard for a long time. But it does seem more so than ever, certainly more than I can ever remember, we are desperate for players in January.
Can I tell you something? I hate the January transfer.
Do you?
Obviously, you have to have it because you have to, but I can't think of one player. There's obviously a few exceptions. I think Suarez, did Suarez come in the January window?
I think Vidic and Ever did.
They're obviously the classic United ones. It literally is a panic buy window, yeah. I think. You look at, like, there's nothing good, I think, that can come out of United spending 50 million or 60 million on a quick fix solution in January. Yeah. In fact, I'd rather pay the 10 million for a 34-year-old like Mandzukic.
Well, would that be something you might be interested in then? Obviously, getting an older player in, rather than, like, we've seen this sort of new supposed plan of getting young British players where applicable. But would more of a quick fix, more of a, like you said, a 34, 35, maybe not 35, but
33.
An older, more experienced head for less money, would that be something you'd like to see?
I just look at someone like Olivier Giroud is a great example, that despite being this side of 30, he's still banging in the goals. And like, look at it this way. Mario Mandzukic is, 34 now? Last summer, he played in a World Cup final. He scored in a World Cup semi-final against England, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
He scored that, I know it may be going back a season before, that overhead kick. I know I'm nitpicking at goals here, and it's as if I'm just watching his highlight.
He was known for a long time as well at Juventus. He wasn't just a goal scorer, which he doesn't get that many goals. He gets you maybe 10 a season.
But how
industrious he was. He played like left wing back for Juventus, like up and down. This was when he was 31, 32, when they were in the Champions League final that season.
You have to remember how busy a left wing back is at Juve as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was known for being almost as good defensively as he was offensively, playing as basically a striker. That's something that United really could do with.
And he's played, I think, in like all of the top five leagues in Europe, except maybe France, I want to say. Mm. He's played Atletico in Spain, you know, so many German clubs, Bayern, Wolfsburg, whatever. Yeah. Played Italy, Juve, obviously. Yeah. And now coming to the Premier, you know, he's a guy who's bagged them in different leagues.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good addition. Looking at other potential options, then here's some people United have been linked with. Well, in particular, it's been Zachariah of Mönchengladbach.
I haven't seen a lot of him play. Saw him on the other night play against Ireland, which probably wasn't the best conditions to flourish as a footballer. I think the game was nearly called off, but Now, look, he's exactly what they're crying out for. Really are.
That's exactly what we're crying out for.
But no, he is exactly something United need at the moment. That kind of that wall to sit in front of the back four. He's got a bit of, you know, skill about him as well. Young, yeah. I think he's only like 22 now.
Yeah, he's very young.
Kind of an upgrade on Ander Herrera if you're talking him. Not maybe about skill, because look, I'm not going to lie, I haven't seen him play a lot for Gladbach this season. I'd be lying if I said otherwise.
Yeah.
If you're talking about age profile.
Yeah. What I've seen, I was looking at a few, there was a nice video on him that was done by someone that I think it was a scout report for someone's UEFA B coaching thing. So it's looking at the way he plays, and he seems to, is that kind of in front of the defence, getting the ball, passing it. And the thing is, those sort of players, again, as we've seen down the years, look good when they're passing it to someone like Pogba or like Herrera, who can then take the ball and be creative with it. What can happen is, especially with United, he gets the ball, he passes it to, let's say Matic, because I don't want to slag McTominay off too much, because I think he's been quite consistent. Yeah. He passes it to Matic. Matic then panics, can't find a ball forward, gives it back to him, and now he's under pressure and he loses the ball.
That's exactly.
And he looks like another version of Fred or another version of Pereira, someone who is inconsistent and can't keep the ball. But really, you need that player and you need your playmakers with him. Or it's
like, I think people are starting to realise how good Jorginho is at Chelsea now.
Yeah.
He got bantered a lot last season because they were in the same situation, you know, we were last season, where Jorginho is that guy to get the pass into Pogba.
And
right now, we don't really have anyone who can get that pass into Pogba. Pereira has shown sometimes he can do it, but he's not good enough to play that
deep. He's a bit too keen on shooting from 30 yards out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
the problem is you've got Fred and you've got Andreas Pereira, who aren't defensively savvy enough to play that deep and distribute the ball. They're probably better as where Pogba plays as number 10. Yeah. You've got Matic, who can't fucking pass the ball forward to play his life.
No.
Who, credit to him, as good of a player as he was, is on his last legs. And then you've got Scott McTominay, who seems to be, like you said, the only, you know, consistent light, because he's the only one who picks the ball up, looks up.
Yeah,
and
he can be like a third man in a strong midfield. So if you had, you know, someone like Zachariah, and then you had McTominay and Pogba, that's a nice little midfield. But then you need like someone in front of that who's making chances, someone on the wings who can get the ball in the box. Yeah. Like, we're still two or three pieces away from, I think it's so difficult for signings to come into United at the moment. Like, we were recording the Comments Club earlier, and someone was talking about managers, players coming to United, and no one's looking better than when they arrived.
Yeah.
Like, we're consistently making the worst of players. People like Di Maria, people like, you know, maybe Falcao's slightly different because of his knee injuries, things like that, but Di Maria was such a talented player and has proved again to be such a talented player at PSG, where people go on at Di Maria for being a mercenary and all that. PSG is the king of the mercenaries.
Yeah,
that's the land of the mercenaries. And if you can go there and thrive there, you know, it's obvious that there are problems with United in the way that we try and put teams together. But I think if we, that midfield and that attack certainly is three players away from being good.
Yeah.
At least.
I was going to ask you as well, we were talking about Sunday, and I'll ask you, and I'll ask people in the comments, people are saying that we should play with one kind of holding midfield and not play with two, and then play with two sixes going forward. What's your opinion on that?
I like the sound of that. I think that obviously
two eights going forward.
Yeah, the 4-2-3-1 we're doing at the moment doesn't seem to be working. But again, it just comes back to a personnel thing. Like, you play one holding midfielder, who is the most sort of stereotypical and like archetypal holding midfielder we have is Matic, in terms of what he offers defensively. He's not particularly creative, so you stick him in front of the defence. And he has been a world-class holding midfielder in his time at Chelsea and I think his first season at United. So you play him there. Or you play McTominay there, who I don't think is as good as he has been. I don't think he's particularly well-rounded in defensively.
Technically, he's not technically... Yeah.
So you either play him there, which I think he's slightly out of his depth if you play McTominay by himself as a number six. I think Matic is too slow to play by himself as a number six. I think Fred doesn't have the defensive capabilities at all to play by himself as a number six. So then, who do you play there? So you're putting a lot of pressure on one person, and none of them are good enough at that. So then you end up playing two to sort of... So you've got Matic who can't run, so you put Fred next to him who can run, and he can pass, but he gives the ball away all the time. So then... And then you've got two players there playing this position that should be being played by one good player, and then we can't make any chances going forward because we ain't got any attackers. Like, we just don't have the players to play any formation particularly well.
I've always kind of wondered as well why either Garner or Levitt, they've kind of been involved in and around the first team.
Yeah.
But there was that insane stat when they were the season when they played in the U team together. It's something like 9 goals, 7 assists or something like that. Someone in the comments will probably correct me, but I think it's an insane return. Why those two? I wouldn't agree with bringing them in straight away on Sunday. I think that's far too early. It is, you know, against that Liverpool team to be thrown in like that is ridiculous. But why they haven't been, maybe kind of...
Yeah, well, I think Garner is the second man as more of a holding... I mean, the problem again, though, with Garner, it's not a problem, it's a great thing, but he's good going forward. Like, his passing's good, so you think, sit him deep like Carrick, right? But then he scores goals.
Yeah.
So you want to play him at number 10, but then where does Pogba play?
Yeah.
And then you've still got the problem, we ain't got any number sixes. Like, that's the thing, when I say we need three players for this team to work, it's because you bring any one player in and you switch it around and you're not covering, you can't cover the fact that we don't have any good number 10s. Well, Pogba's a good number 10, okay, but then we don't have any number 8s. Yeah. Okay, we'll play Pogba at number 8 and then we don't have any good number 6s. Like, we don't have enough players to make, for one player to make the difference. Obviously, this is quite a downbeat version of events, and I think we can obviously play a lot better than we have been with the team we've got. But I would feel sorry for Garner coming into that midfield.
Yeah, it's not, it's... what's it they say, a baptism of fire,
yeah,
the
exactly.
expression. Yeah,
maybe play him, you know, next midfield. To instead of that Pereira role, you could maybe put him in there, but again, it's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
Just the fact that we're talking about playing so many kids at this time, as if we need them to play there, just shows how kind of fucked we are squad depth wise. I mean, it's really bad at the moment.
Yeah,
and if this, and oh, I don't know, man, when people were saying, oh, we're gonna get relegated, I was like, yeah, we're not gonna get relegated.
No,
we're not. And then people are saying, well, Leeds went down, but that was a different situation.
Didn't have any money.
I don't know, it's just like we need just a few wins under the belt just to, and I don't know whether we get it Sunday. I fucking hope so, man. Yeah, that would just make
that would really be great.
It's a pretty true example of, you know, football really does ruin your weekend.
Yeah, it does.
And if United gets stuck,
it's so brilliant. No,
if United, don't get my hopes up.
So great. Right, a couple of last things to wrap us up then. Obviously, Brandon Williams, we saw today, has signed a new contract with Man United, with going to 2022 with an optional extension on that as well. What do you think to that? I think that's a good...
I think it's great, especially for people who are saying that, you know, and I would agree that Ashley Young is probably considered deadwood at this stage. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably the right thing. It's an indication that he will be featuring a lot more towards the end of the season, if not being maybe even first choice next season if things go his way. We don't know when Luke Shaw will be back. We don't know what... You don't know what shape Luke Shaw is going to come back in, do you?
It's probably going to be that sort of shape.
Yeah.
It's a circle.
Somewhat like rotund. A rotund individual.
Yeah, and finally then, give me your score prediction for Liverpool.
Do you want me to say it with my heart or my head?
Put them both together and give me a single...
Okay, I'm going to say... 2-1 United. I'm
going to go 2-1 United as well. I think if I was a Liverpool fan, I would be thinking, God, we're so good, they're so bad, they're going to beat us.
Yeah, but that's the trap.
We're going
to
beat
it up for the, since Ollie lost the PSG, we've been building it up.
Yeah, that's true. We're so bad, we must win at some point.
And then bring them back down to earth.
Exactly, that's exactly right. Right, thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for joining us at home again. Leave your comments and your score predictions in the comments below. Of course, be sure to join us for the watch-along on Sunday and all the build-up leading up to then as well. Again, thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.